This episode of the Old Dogs REI Network is brought to you by Mino Studio. Welcome to the Old Dogs REI Network, where cash flow is king. Real estate investing, the means, so you can enjoy your retirement dreams. This is the show where we cut right to the chase. No sales pitch, no long monologues, just simple how-to real estate investing advice, so you can earn the passive income you need to enjoy your retirement today. And now, your host and chief old dog, Bill Manicero.
Hello, old dogs, and welcome to
Fun Facts Friday.
This is our once a week, only on Friday show, where we have special episodes not featuring guests, where I will share tricks, tips, terminology, and techniques that will help skyrocket you to real estate investing success. Today's topic is how to be a private money lender. But before we get started, I always like to touch base with you guys and just say, hey, how are you? How are you doing? How is your real estate investing? You know, are you researching and getting ready to, you know, to take that big step? Or are you already doing it? Or have you been doing it for a long time and you're kind of like, Bill, I've done this. Okay. Well, either way, I'm here to really try to encourage you guys and just to let you know, you know, what's going on. Sometimes I just share with you, you know, my own personal horror stories. And a lot of people go, gosh, well, at least, you know, I'm not as bad off as Bill. No, just kidding. Well, no, maybe not. But anyway, sometimes things do happen. And recently, there's always an adventure going on. I think that I'm ready to launch a sitcom here, you know, called the Avoca, our 22 unit apartment. But anyway, so last night, I got these texts and I was sound asleep, so I didn't get them. Phone rings, I don't hear it, you know. But we had a tenant that got locked out. Now, how many times does that happen? Happens a lot, okay? It used to happen a lot. Let me correct that. But I got a new property management company and they kind of changed things around a little bit. Well, let me tell you real quick about this. This is one of the most common occurrences that happens at places. Now, and if you don't have an on-site manager, which I don't, okay? But what I do have is a house mom, okay? I've talked to you guys about house moms. And my first house mom left and we basically asked her to leave because it didn't quite work out the way we wanted to. Now I got like house mom 2.0 and she is amazing and really great. Well, anyway, a guy locked himself out of his place and he was like really upset and they called the 24-hour emergency number that our property management company has. And of course, there was no response. There was nothing. And he was getting even more upset and she was waiting for it. So it was like 12 o'clock, 1 a.m., something like that. And they didn't really get really far. So what she did is she actually went and was very resourceful, got a ladder out they could go up to his window and he was able to climb in and get in his apartment. But the moral of this story is one, I didn't get a chance to really orient my house mom about lockouts, which are a real common thing. Okay. People either lock their keys inside or they leave their keys somewhere. But, This is something that can be prevented. A couple of quick tips here for you, okay? One of the things that I had done with the previous management was that we just got rid of all of the bottom locks, okay? So our doors on the bottom, I mean, the doorknob is basically doesn't have a lock in it. And all there is a deadbolt. So that the only way you can lock that place up is after you've gone through the door, you can, you know, you have to use the key to lock the deadbolt. Okay. So if you have the locking doorknob, then, you know, they can close that behind. You've already turned the little deal behind it and you close the door and oops, I left my keys. Okay. So we got rid of a lot of those. And then the new company has come in, they've been doing some rehabs and so forth, and they're putting in these doors in the bottom, the doorknobs on the bottom. And so I'm, you know, telling them, let's get rid of those. Let's go back to the original. Well, sure enough, you know, we had our first problem here with this thing. So just so you know, that's a great way to eliminate 90% of the lockouts. Okay. Is having just a deadbolt on the top, okay, and just a regular doorknob on the bottom without a lock on it, okay? Another thing is, now for my house mom, is I said, okay, what we need are emergency numbers here for 24-hour locksmiths, okay? Now, if you have, and there are, you know, most markets, you'll be able to find somebody that can do that. In the smaller markets, it might be kind of tough, but most of them will have a locksmith that will, and they'll charge you, but that's a charge that goes directly to the tenant because it's really their fault that they lost their key or they misplaced it or locked it inside or whatever. So that's another good way to kind of deal with that. Yeah, in fact, now if you don't have a house mom, that's another story. And I'm going to talk more about house moms and give you kind of an update on how this has been working out really, really great. So anyway, let's move on to our topic. That was the tip for the day. Try to prevent those lockouts. Okay, so how to be a private money lender. Okay, private lending has picked up pace in recent years, and a lot of reasons why is because certain people, they're looking for good returns on their money. Real estate is one of the best places to do that. And there's a lot of private money lending going on in real estate, right? This is an area where you can get high returns, and you can also come up with terms that fit you and can produce basically just an ongoing stream of cash flow for you. Private lending has really picked up in recent years, and this is despite, you know, higher interest rates charged by private lenders. There are many reasons why this has happened, is that a lot of the lenders, you know, in this space have kind of tightened up their requirements by banks. So it's a little bit harder, even if you're paying higher interest rates, to get these types of loans. So banks tend to shy away from lending money to small businesses and startups, okay? And a lot of times real estate transactions. As a result, many borrowers look for other ways of funding, and such opportunities provide great opportunities for those that may have a self-directed IRA or a solo 401k or something where they can actually be the bank. Okay. I mean, this is what the banks do basically. You know, they just lend out their money. However, starting out as a private lender is no easy walk in the park. You know, numerous risks lurk in the business. You need to tread with caution. Okay. In this podcast, I'll try to cover what it means to how to become a private lender, some of the pros and cons involved, so you can assess maybe this might be another means of cash flow for you. And you can decide whether becoming the bank is the kind of thing that you want to do. So first off, what is private lending? Before getting into how to become a private money lender, it's important to understand what you're getting into. Now, private money loans is a term used to describe loans acquired outside of banks. These loans are offered by organizations, individuals, and they come with the elements of traditional lending, even though the rules can be different. Many people opt for these loans for a number of reasons, such as financing, personal loans, real estate loans, and business loans. The latter is quite common because it is nearly impossible for a small business or a startup to secure a loan from a bank. Now, a lot of you guys know I'm Italian. You know, I have some relatives that, they all have the same name, Guido, you know, and this is where some people may go to get their loans. And, you know, Guido, he doesn't usually have the best terms. So you don't want to borrow from a guy named Guido. No, just kidding you. But, there's probably some real legitimate guys out there named Guido. But you want to try to, you know, do this kind of business with somebody that can, you know, really bring you, you know, the sort of the best terms and the best situation for your particular business, okay, or your real estate investing. Here's some tips on becoming a private lender. First thing is sort of calculate the risks before you take them. It's a risk game, and you really want to try to edge it so that there's as little risk as possible. Risk taking is common in business. However, it's absurd for you to make an investment without making calculations so you'll understand the risk. Private lending involves what is known as parking money. This is more like passive investment in huge projects like like malls and apartments, for example. Such investments require a lot of capital, and as a private lender, you need to make sure that you can cover the expenses required in case the borrower defaults, and you need to go to court to recover your cash. Otherwise, you can end up with serious debts that can damage your credit worthiness. Seek financial experts who can add to your knowledge so as to make you a smart lender. Calculate risks before taking them. Now, risk-taking is common in business. However, it's absurd for you to make an investment without making calculations so you'll understand the risks. You need to know everything you can about the investment you intend to fund. This is really important. To succeed as a private lender, you need to understand the investment presented to you. You'll also need knowledge in that particular industry. So if it's a real estate loan, maybe a guy's flipping and he's rehabbing a house or something. For example, if someone wants a loan from you in that particular industry, you want to know as much about that particular industry as you can. All right. This doesn't mean that you cannot invest. However, you'll need expert advice from veterans in that industry for clarification and decision making. In addition to knowing and understanding the investment, you need to see it physically. Therefore, the best advice at this point would be to lend locally. Another thing, you need nerves of steel if you're going to be a lender too, because nerves of steel will come in handy in this business because the money doesn't always come in on time. You have to prepare for such scenarios. To ease these frustrating times in advance, it helps to gain in-depth knowledge about the particular project. That way, you'll have some expertise that might help to accelerate the project. You need to get the best team possible. Some borrowers can be difficult to deal with, and as a private lender, you need to counter this. One way is by hiring qualified employees in every aspect of your business to take care of different angles like paperwork and collections. And they don't have to be employees. They can be outside vendors, even virtual assistants. By getting your documents in order, you can challenge the borrower in a court of law if necessary. While in court, you also need a strong legal team to represent you. Besides lawyers, you need a competent accountant to help you analyze tax details, the money angle in various deals, and provide monetary advice. Then you got to look at, is the project worth the hassle? This is a question you need to ask yourself before entering into private deals. Apart from the rate of return in your investment, you need to take a look at investment in terms of the work involved as well as the risk. The interest might be sweet, and sometimes it's a lot sweeter the higher the risk, but is it worth the hassle if you're going to invest only a modest amount? This is where the hard questions come and critical decisions are needed to make a smart investment. Some lenders end up securing the assets in the business when borrowers default on payments. To avoid such scenarios as a lender, you need to understand the business. This way you improve the cash flow in the business, thereby improving it as a whole, resulting in a win-win deal. Then, of course, you got to always verify the numbers. Okay, as a private lender, chances are that you'll come across dubious deals from fraudulent people. However, to remain afloat, you need to scrutinize the numbers yourself. Sometimes the deal is just too good to be true, and those are the ones you really need to scrutinize the most. Many times your prospective borrower is incompetent when it comes to accounting, which is not much different from being a fraud. It's important to always take time to make sure the numbers add up. And also actions to take if the borrowers default. Now, this is an area that you have to be well aware of as you get into private money lending. Borrowers might at times default on payments, and lenders have to be prepared for such times. One way to go about it is by initiating a foreclosure to claim the collateral the borrower offered to secure the loan. Note that this is an extensive process, both in terms of finances and expertise. This is where the legal team you have comes in to guide you through this entire process. And if you have the capital and this is something you want to do, where do you start? Now, like I said, if you have the capital, but how do you get borrowers, right? So you've got money to lend. How do you find good, competent, reliable borrowers? And the best way is by joining a peer-to-peer lending platform. This is kind of the easiest way because they have a lot of the the fundamental setup. They even have collections sometimes tied into their process. But some of the more well-known platforms are Lending Club and Prosper. And there'll be links in the notes if you want to check those out. And those are real common for folks that have funds that want to lend out. And you lend, you know, based on the risk. You know, people with poor credit, you know, they're going to get a higher return, but there's also higher risk. So it's a good place to get started, especially if you think you're going to want to sort of venture off and do your own private money lending without a platform such as that. Those two platforms bring investors and borrowers together. And for that reason, lenders have a wide range of options to invest in. While the rates of return in these platforms range in the low double digits, they are still better than what the banks offer. So it's a good way to get started, and you'll learn a lot about the process by working with these already established platforms. So let's take a look at the pros and cons before we wrap up here. And just like any other business, private lending comes with its own pros and cons. The pros. The obvious advantage of private lending is the returns involved. As a private lender, you can expect to get about a 15% return on investment. This is quite a high return compared to bank investments or bonds. Another advantage is if the borrower defaults, the lender can move in to secure the collateral through foreclosure. Also, as a private lender, you can avoid the headaches of sometimes of being a landlord as a lender or even flipping, but you can still invest in real estate without the headaches of managing the projects or the property. And since private lending takes a short time on average, the investor can take the money in and out at will. And also, private lending is quite secure since you can hold the borrower's assets as collateral for the money loan. So those are some of the key pros of private lending. But there are also cons. The cons are the private lending doesn't come with favorable taxes when compared to an owned asset. So it's not that you don't have all the tax advantages, in other words, that you would have investing in real estate as an owner of the property yourself, or even as a flipper, or a long-term buy and hold guy. Another con would be, as much as private lending is lucrative, its growth is not similar to an asset in your name. You know, in other words, so if you own an asset, you obviously have equity and other benefits that come along with it. Lending in the long term can also result in losses caused by inflation. You know, that can happen where, you know, rates go real high. It's hard to, you know, to get lenders, or they may go really low where you're not getting the return. I mean, there's things that can happen there. This sector also lacks standardization, which means there could be a chance that the borrower will default. So overall, just to conclude here, while private lending yields lucrative returns, it is important to note that it comes with its own fair share of risks, some of which have been listed and explained in this podcast here. As a private lender, or an aspiring one for that matter, you can list some of the information that I gave here as a means for you to assess whether or not this is what you might want to do. As an investor, there definitely are some great advantages and some disadvantages as well. But it is something that you might want to take a look at as part of your investment portfolio. And hopefully these tips and information provided here will be helpful for you. Well, that's it for today. Please note, old dog listeners, everything presented here today, including some good links that can give you even more information, can be accessed in our show notes on the Old Dogs website at olddogsreinetwork.com/blog. And you're going to look for the episode entitled How to Be a Private Money Lender. So until next time, remember, cash flow is king and real estate investing the means. Thanks again for listening, and may God bless.
Thank you very much for visiting the Old Dogs REI Network. We would greatly appreciate if you would stop by iTunes and let us know what you think of the show. We would love if you could subscribe to the podcast, give us a 5-star rating, and write a review. The more ratings and reviews we receive, the more visible the podcast will be to others. Thank you.